the LSC podcast. We have run out of jersey numbers, at least for the moment, so we're dedicating this one to the 1957 NBA champions, the Boston Celtics, the year they won their first NBA title. And I know at least one of our panelists today is very very proud of that fact.
But
we're not going to talk about them anymore because my team has not won for over a decade. But I am Andrew, joined as always by Ben Arcane.
Hello.
And John Jousming.
Hello.
And we have a special guest today, the programmer, the mastermind behind the Red MC and Redditor over the past few years, Vlad Zola Jr. How are you doing, Vlad?
Hey, I'm fine, thanks. Happy to be here.
And yes, sir, hey. Folks, we have replaced you.
Been looking for a new programmer, a new voice from the continent to replace you, and we're sorry.
But, by the way, happy birthday.
happy birthday as well. Yes, we have Vlad with us today to talk a little about the upcoming Red MC and all the wonderful things that it's going to be able to do for the modding community over the next year, because I'm sure there's a lot of people chomping at the bit to get things started. And John, you've been doing a little bit of beta testing and fiddling around, as you so often do, so I thought I'd pass the mic over to you so that you and Vlad could talk a little about what's to come and what we can look forward to.
Well, we have a lot to look forward to. This man, he's done amazing things this year. I don't know what you did, but I remember, with 2K13, even when you delete all the schedules and everything from the database, there still wasn't that much room to do something that that you did in 2K12 that we see Hawk23 doing with the Ultimate Base roster, with having 256 teams in one roster. And then the other day I was doing testing for you, and I deleted the schedules and nothing too much else, and I end up with over 600 teams in a single roster I started running out of space.
And actually, I confirm that roster this year has increased its maximum size, so you have a lot more free space to add teams, players, and whatever. Also, each player's record got compressed a bit more, and whatever to say. Ah, yeah, I wanted to mention that we have nearly reached the limit for names this year, so 2K has a limit of 65,000 characters, letters to be used for names, and 65,000 more. And this first 60,000 characters are already nearly used by the original roster, so we have about a couple of thousand there, plus the other block, which is used by the game for some internal needs. But actually, when a full roster control part stage 2 is out, we can expand this slot and use the amount of names we want.
That is insane, and especially since it's the 65, I've seen this pop up a couple different places within the roster. I believe it correlates to FFFF in hex.
FFFF in hex.
Whatever. The 65, the limit you're talking about for characters.
Yes. If you take a look on the file, you see the header part, then all those records, and at the bottom of the records, there is a space of 32. 2,000 bytes, which are all zeros, and after that you see names. And after the names, that amount of random bytes, which is garbage and can be used as free space.
And never mind if it's a reserve for characters, that means that we really have about 130 more kilobytes of unused space, because we double it because they use the Unicode.
You know how the links for names work since 2K13? Before 2K13, the links were 1 one full integer, I mean, 4 bytes, yes? So it was like 4 milliard something something maximum value. And links since 2K13 are divided into two groups. So 2 bytes were reserved for section ID, and 2 other bytes were reserved for the actual item ID. And so instead of getting 4 milliard possible values, we are limited to those 2 bytes, so maximum is 65,000.
So I think we've proven to everyone that we know what we're talking about.
Yes, because having the program that did all these wonderful things the last couple of years, you know. Yeah, Vlad has no idea about this. Yeah, sure.
I think if Leftos is listening to us, he understands it all.
He's probably just laughing at us, those fools.
4 million lines of BASIC.
Yes. So basically, you know, for those who don't know, which would, if you're listening to this, you're probably familiar enough with the community enough to know what this tool does for us. It lets us do pretty much anything. without this tool and editing the rosters to the extent that this allows us to, this is what allows us to create NCAA mods. This is what allows us to create the PBA mods and the ABL mods and NBL mods. I forget what your league is. NBL?
Yeah, NBL, yeah.
Sorry.
That's what they tell us.
Sorry?
Oh, don't apologize.
Well, you gotta think of the best, most important thing,
too.
The street mods.
Of course, of course.
And, you know, over the years, you know, we learned different tricks on how to use this to the fullest potential so that I, for instance, am going to be using this 650 team thing not to create 650 teams, but I can have 650 players in blacktop mode have their individual home and away uniforms thanks to this, because of how the game uses a different value instead of the team that the person is actually on to choose which uniform they're using during blacktop mode. And then, never mind, on top of that, you have being able to change the different shadows that are used in blacktop mode or... Wait, no, blacktop mode. We get it, John. but
by the way, since you are talking about blacktop mode, I saw a question yesterday, maybe. You recorded a video and it was in the comments. Why can't we have only one player per team? I don't know why that guy asked this, but if you can explain me why, I will maybe say something more. But yes, we can set only one player per team, but it has no sense since it doesn't work in quick game, in association, just to view roster of a team or for blacktop. But I don't see any sense, and that's why I limited it for 5. It's not the game limit, it's limited by RedMC.
And I think what he wanted to do was just hold the right trigger to cycle through the teams and then just tap A to choose a random player, which you can do that anyway. You don't have to have, you know, just one player on the team, which is what I replied to him on that YouTube video. But I mean, it goes further than just, you know, the different types of rosters that we can create. This allows us to create custom schedules for the first season, at least right now, the first season of the association, the My Career, and something that I fully plan on actually doing this year and not just saying I'm going to do it, is create a type of NBA Street, NBA Jam kind of challenge mode where you go from one team to the next team to the next team to the next team in order, and you can... You know, it's a house rules, honor rule. You do a trade with the team after you beat them, or something of that nature. You know, it lets us truly customize the experience to having NBA players as coaches on the sideline, to making a player generator that just automatically generates crappy, terrible players or fantastic players, or to the point of Ultimate Base Roster, where you can go accurate with it and recreate retro seasons. And then we have other patch or mods that are taking PBA, NBL, EuroLeague, and FIBA teams, as well as the NBA teams, and mashing them all into one roster so we can play against each other. I think people kind of miss out on the scale when they think about roster editing. They think about just easily changing out ratings or tendencies, which, you know, obviously the most controversial part of this tool and the part that people don't really understand is that you do charge for licenses for this, with the different tabs and with the different file types. And
yes,
I don't think
actually,
they understand.
And it takes a lot of time creating the tool. You know, people pay for Photoshop or for that 3ds Max to use them to create models, textures. So it's actually the same. Yeah, I understand why some people don't understand why I charge, because, yeah, this is for community, but I have said multiple times already that if I wouldn't charge, I would create just maybe players tab, which was half of all the capabilities, and maybe teams tab with just three or four editable values, you know, because yeah, it's interesting for me creating it, but I spent so much time that I could go and do some other work and get paid. That's why I want to put my efforts towards the community, not towards maybe trading on Forex or reselling used cars. But of course, I need to eat something and to buy a new PC because my old one got broken, so I bought it a couple of months ago. And this is what I need those money for. I hope people understand that it's quite a big work done, and it requires a lot of skills. I've been studying programming since seventh grade at school, and so it was 4 years at school and 4 years in college. So I think I spent enough. I put enough efforts into this to charge and to ask people to pay me if they want to get full capabilities. And actually, one thing to mention, that players tab actually take about 40% of total work, and they are free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you know,
sorry, John. It's like you were saying, we can do all these amazing things with RedMC. We've been able to do some pretty good things with NBA Live over the years, but with the rosters, with the DBF files, we can open those with a range of free programs and just change values. So there's nothing that's really gone into the work that Vlad has done in decoding the files and being able to work with them. So the way I would like to explain it, because we do have the rule in the community that you can't charge for patches and or mods. The difference, if anyone's wondering, is that it kind of really gets into a very tenuous legal area there, because you're profiting off something of intellectual property you don't own. Both the, for example, with a player face, the photo you used and the player's likeness and all that kind of stuff. There's potential legal problems there. And, you know, if people charge $10 for a face update, I don't think anyone's going to pay for it. But with a program like, you want to be the best face ever, yeah. But, my face. I guess if you wanted to make a comparison, it's basically, RedMC is like a third-party add-on or enhancement to the game, or an expansion, an unofficial expansion pack, if you will, a modification of its own. It's not a modification, it's a tool, of course. But I'd put it this way, the devices that you can use to play your iPod in the car, for example, the iTrip and whatnot by Griffin, they're not officially endorsed by Apple, or some of them, they're not produced by Apple, but no, you can sell those. You can't. Another company can't just buy a bunch of iPods, paint them red, and then resell them and call them their product.
It's not cars, damn it.
Yeah. So that's, if that metaphor makes sense to you guys or anyone else out there, that's how I'd explain it. And it's why this is okay. And again, as Vlad said, he's put a lot of his free time into developing something that's not 5 minutes one weekend, just whip it up, and suddenly we've got this amazing editor. So, it is, as you said, John, sometimes controversial, but there is a very good reason for it, and a distinct difference between charging for that and charging $10 for a face update or something of that nature.
$100 for a face.
Yeah.
Now all cyberface patchers have left the podcast. Now let's talk about...
Let's go after the shoe patchers next.
No, and it's funny, though, just how... You know, there is the backlash, and I wanted to make sure that while we had you on here, that you do address it, because it is something that comes up year after year after year. And I do think that last year was a great, I guess, it was a great showing of how great this tool is. Now, you know, we have the almighty Leftos. And, you know, he's helped us out so much in the community with all the different tools he's made. And last year he did make a roster editor before you were able, because you did the complete rewrite from Redditor to RedMC. Yes. And which is, you know, future proof. He didn't have to do a complete rewrite this year, thankfully.
Yeah. actually, but... it's the second time of rewriting, and the third time from of doing this from scratch. So you remember when I just entered the scene with 2K10 and the editor for 2K10, and it was free, and it included only player step and a bank of names, where you had problems with length of names, and then I continued to work towards this direction. I was digging files deeper and deeper, and programming more and more, and additional functions, and you may remember when it became shareware for the first time. It was in early... year 11, 2011, maybe May or April, something like that, when fully editable team step and fully editable arena step and jersey step appeared there. But this technology, since I was developing the original version, I continued doing that, and I was just a rookie in college, so I didn't know how to build up a good enough architecture of the program. I mean, the inside of the program, the source code, and it actually reached its limits, and that's why I made Redditor 2 for 2K11 from scratch, and it used more advanced techniques. And actually for 2K12 I introduced some even more advanced techniques, so it allowed making 360 rosters editable from the start, and then we reached those limits of that second architecture, and I had to redo everything from scratch for 2K13, especially taking into consideration that files got changed, they got compressed and non-byte lined, so all the low-level functions had to be rewritten, and I decided to change the high level of the tools, interface, user interface, and other things to make sure I have a room for future, to have a room for those non-roster parts of save files, like editing actual current schedules of association and my career, and also editing if files. We will talk about it a bit later, I hope. So yes, I had to rewrite from scratch for the second time for 2K13, but now it's the previous year architecture a bit improved, and so new tabs were added. By the way, did you take a look on those new tabs in this year's RedMC?
I've certainly noticed them, but I have no idea what they change.
Yeah. Actually, me too. That's why.
And that's been kind of the fun part, because every single year of this tool, we have one tab or at least one column that's unknown, or some ID, or unused ID anymore, and turns out to be used by everything. when it comes to the floor ID. Yes. And yeah, the ASA ID, yes. That controls whether or not a player is a locked player that behind
is glitching or not.
You know, and the one point that I really wanted to drive home is that, you know, we know the value and the power of this tool when last year in comparison to Leftos's roster editor, which, you know, he did a great job with it, and with the essentially the players in the teams tab, but there were still people pretty much demanding him to create features like the name editing and everything that you had done. And he was like, you know, I'm just going to wait for, you know, Vlad to finish up Redditor, and then I'll be all set. And it's just kind of, it's a next level kind of thing. And the thing that I'm the most excited about, you know, for me to get excited about modding things, you know, I look forward to RedMC every year. And this is something that, obviously, with all of the patches and mods that I make, you know, I look forward to this. But what I'm truly excited for is what might be happening in the next couple of weeks that you said. You know, essentially what we're kind of looking at, what we've talked about and discussed, is doing essentially for roster editing that you've done, but for if editing. Yeah?
Yeah, of course. And not only if editing. There are many plans for the future. And yes, if editing... I don't know if you want to share your emotions with the public about the tool I sent you a couple of months ago before 2K14 was out, and that prototype, very pre-alpha version of prototype of EF Editor. But the plans are big, so if you take a look on those Chinese tools, they allow you to just export and import, and but you can't increase file size, so you can't make big textures without hex editing. I know there is a tutorial on NLSC, but with RedMC it will be a couple of clicks process, so you just import any model or any texture which is three times bigger than the original one, and it will auto rebuild the whole if file, and all will be fine in game, no problems. And also there are plans for the music, the same plans, so you can import tracks of each, you can import instead of the default soundtrack, just import all those 56 podcasts and all will be fine.
It's one way to do it. And then we have the return of something that was teased a little bit last year, was the in-game text editing with the English if file. That's going to be updated this year, right?
Yes, and last year it was the first step towards if editing, and since I plan to add complete if editor this year, so this small add-on, it won't support 2K14, but once this full support for if files is added, of course text will be there, and not only text, also fonts, because I've been asked by multiple men from different parts of the world, from Russia as well, where I live, and all of them say we want to make a translation of the game to our own language, and we need not only edit the text but also edit the fonts, because our local fonts have some extra characters, and so it's not enough of just English-laden characters for that. But when it's done, people who have this English if editor add-on, they will have a free license. They will update for free to edit those text files of any game. Actually, it will support not only 14 and 13, also 12. I don't know, maybe 11. It has different compression. Not sure yet.
Well, what's fun is that you know, you talked about the different roster, or the different texture sizes. And Eric's had that fantastic tutorial that taught us how to do some of it through hex, which was very funny because Leftos and I spent weeks trying to figure it out, and he only changed the one parameter that we decided that we were going to ignore. So it was very funny to see. I was comparing what he did to what our leftover notes I had posted previously on the forums and everything. I was just kind of like, ah, we're so close. Being able to do that stuff through hex editing is still, you know, going to be possible and everything. It's just that it's a real pain in the ass, is the easy way to put it. And we're talking about being able to essentially go down to just import anything you want. And
We have to... just having one tool to make all these mods.
Exactly. Yes. Instead, and you know, I know Big Hort Brandon. He's had issues recently because 2K, the 2KX tool isn't really behaving properly with Windows 8, and the 3DM tool, even though it does a good job of supporting more files, at the same time, it doesn't support Stadium files. So it's going to be nice to have. Whereas before we had like the Flying Fin editor for 2K9 and then Leftos's editor in 2K13. And of course we have the cheat engine and the trainers that allow us to do a lot of roster editing things, basic
and mess
roster
up save files.
And how do I get more VC? Okay, we're done here. So but you know, it,
why
having...
why my stats gone? Have you used a trainer? Yeah, well,
oh, you're screwed.
actually, I read at Operation Sports, someone told me that some people use those extra player steps, those templates, different kinds of templates, to create 99 overall players for crew mode and something like this.
Yes.
Is this true?
It is. Yep,
yeah, it was true. Yeah.
We had a rant about that. I think John had a rant about that on a previous podcast.
Yeah, essentially, I find it very interesting that they kept those templates in the roster file so easily. I'm not saying so easily manipulated. Obviously, we're doing some reverse engineering here and everything and touching things we're not supposed to be touching. But yeah, that was a rant previous.
I just thought maybe... charge for those tabs as well, so no little kids could just download the program and become super dunkers of the height of 8 feet. I don't know.
And I don't know what's going on this year, if it's the same thing with the consoles, because you know I'd hope that they'd move that server side for at least for, because they had the difference between on consoles they have the you play My Career for VC or you play My Career for SP, like the PC version. So I don't know. We'll, I'm sure we'll find out once this is released.
We need to find someone with the 360 version of the game and just ask him to test this. Oh, Rhonda is God. I mean, this is a nickname. Rhonda is God.
No. Rhonda is God.
Okay, so he is the tester for 360 this year. Since Hookup Guy ignored the 360 version of the game, he was looking to next gen from the very beginning. So I had to ask someone else, and I chose Rhonda is God, who started to help me from the very beginning. So I think I will ask him to test this, although he's on a trip, so he doesn't have a constant access to his console.
And unfortunately, I also focused on next-gen and PC. but I'm sure we'll get that tested and everything, and hacks will be abound. But you know, if it's available like that, I'd be very surprised if it hasn't already been figured out, since you just have to look for the hex data for those specific ratings in order. Like, this is something that they've been hex editing for the consoles for a while, and it's funny. It's funny to see, because the PC people, we kind of just sit back and say, "Yeah, Random C's coming out soon. You know, we'll wait for that." Whereas the console people are like, "We need to hex edit right now." And they find the sock colors, and they find the jersey types, and they find the all the different color things to edit for accessory colors. And it's really funny to me that the console community is more hex editing with rosters than the PC community.
Well, they've had to do it. We've been spoiled with DBF editing and whatnot, so we kind of... But we kind of want that easy...
I agree with Andrew. So PC community had great tools for years, and I released Redditor 2 for the 360 version of 2K11 on, and they had no editors earlier, so they had to start digging, and they became more smart in that direction, in that area.
But
this master race stuff that we've been pushing for the PC is just falling flat in its face.
Lazy race.
So lazy.
But it's tortoise and the hare. We are certainly the hare.
But no, so, you know, it's just funny to see how, you know, the PC community is always going to make breakthroughs. We're always going to figure out new things, as we did recently with the texture editing and all the different hex editing things that we've done with the rosters. And even though we've figured this kind of stuff out manually, and it has to be done by, you know, essentially a very slim couple of people of the community, even, no matter how many tutorials I put out, there's still only like four people that have truly, you know, taken some of the concepts and ran with them. And then when we find something that's pretty easy, like Razer's one texture quart method, everyone just kind of flocks to that instead of trying to figure out their, you know, new and different methods of doing things. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's a great thing that we can, you know, work together like that and share the templates like this. But being able to easily, I guess what I'm trying to say is that once something becomes easy, whether it was head shape editing in 2K10 to roster editing with the first Redditor to this, you know, the one quart method, the one texture quart method and all these things, whenever something becomes easy, we see a explosion in the community of content related to it. The amount of quartz that are with that one texture quart is just astounding to me. The entire NCAA mod is just using that one floor file. And then I did the 60 plus quartz for Midnight Ballers with it. I believe the PBA mod used it, as did the FIBA mod. And then the high school mod is using it as well, I believe. And I'm just getting excited because with RedMC coming out, you know, for rosters, we're going to have plenty of the high school mods and then get started up. The NCAA mod is going to be able to really start getting its, you know, feet in the ground, and all the different league mods are going to start coming out. I'm going to be doing my stupid street stuff. And then it's going to move on to the if editing, to things that we have not been able to do on the PC.
You can put your street font in the game.
Street font in the game, you know it. And then... And being able to edit parameters that we haven't been able to edit. And if we can figure out models and custom models and figure out what format the models are and be able to import any model we want, which, you know, if you do this, Vlad, if you do this...
I'll do my best to do this.
And I'll do my best to help you any way I can, because I would be able to essentially go into SketchUp, the easiest program of programs, and create just a very basic stadium and import it back in.
And make a completely new stadium with just very highly detailed, with lots of polygons everywhere, so even the top PCs will show just 20 frames per second.
But I mean, even think about, but if we can do model editing like that, that means we can also take head shapes and duplicate the vertices and make them twice as detailed, which, you know, not that as detailed as next gen probably, but it'll still look nicer.
Exactly. That's why this is what I was also targeting to when I just started thinking of if editing. Actually, to be honest, I wanted to make if editing an if editor back in 2011. I even talked about it to my groupmate at college, but he eventually refused to help me. And since I had my time limited, so I just focused on roster editing.
Which, to be honest, I think the roster editing was more important to get done.
Yeah,
but so I guess the last thing is, when are we going to get to, you know, play with it? When will it be released?
Let me think.
I mean, it's, you know, relative.
Choose your words carefully.
Actually, it's nearly finished, and the initial release for 2K14, it will be out this week. I think Saturday at latest, maybe on Friday, I'll do my best. Actually, it's only there are only a couple of things left to be done, and more things are finished. And Mad Dog, thanks to him, he sent me all the tutorials in PDF format yesterday, so I can include them into the final package. Although I'd like to add a couple more words about the future of it. So, when we will be able to edit non-roster parts of save files, it will be possible to make the game not start this season, but once you create a save, you will be able to edit it and put current year to 2000, for example, and play the real 2000 season or 2001 season, so you will have correct days over the week.
Very nice, nice.
To numbers, to days of the month, so not relying schedule of the season 2001 to the year 2013, but the actual season 2001. The only problem is we can't get earlier than 2000, so 90s are impossible. Sorry, guys.
Well, that's still all we've been able to do in the past, so yeah.
2095. Yeah. Jordan is back.
Yeah, fine. Let's hope not. Well, I guess we'll all be like Bill Laimbeer's combat basketball and getting around in robot bodies and whatnot. So, very interesting league there. But that's awesome news, and it's great to hear about the anything else before we move on that you can tease us with features of the program, or have we covered it pretty much?
I think we covered it pretty much. Maybe there are a couple more peculiarities, but they are too early to be revealed. So we'll wait a week maybe or two. After the initial release, it will be clear which direction the development process will go first and which functions will be added at a later stage. So let's wait for the initial release and we will be able to discuss the future after that.
Excellent. And anyone who wants to keep up with, of course, the release and the latest status can go to your thread, the sticky thread in the NBA 2K14 releases and previews section of the forum. It's right there near the top of the forum under the NBA 2K14 section, so shouldn't have any problem finding it. And if you do, modding is probably not for you anyway. that's not a difficult step. So, but no, you can certainly check on the progress there. So, moving on, did you want to stay with us, Vlad, or as we move on to other things?
I need to do a couple of things about the house, and I will journey back in 10 minutes maybe to listen to you. Maybe I will be able to add something, but don't count on me in terms of next-gen discussion, because I simply spent all my money repairing my car, so I couldn't afford to buy a PS4 or Xbox One.
No, that's fair enough. But, priorities, after all. But that's once again, definitely stay tuned for Red MC. But since we have come to the next gen portion of the program, well, Ben, you and I have finally joined the next generation.
Welcome.
I'll wait until spring, and maybe in spring I'll buy a next gen console to take a look. Actually, John sent me a couple of saves maybe 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was day one, yes.
Can we do it? Can we do it? No, we can't. Oh.
Yeah,
worth a try.
But the files are encoded, so we need to put some more efforts into the direction. It's not that easy, just change this byte and see, oh, come on, it's rating changed. We need to decode the format first of all. It's not that awkward comparing to PlayStation 3. But still, I think we will be able to edit next-gen saves, if not for 2K14, then for 2K15 maybe. But so the right future now, is fine.
Well, you heard it here first, and because that's about our community, and that's what we're talking about. No one else is, but
yeah.
nevertheless, you heard it here first. But Ben, you do have you and I do have the consoles.
Finally.
And I thought maybe you'd like to go first. I've got both games, Live 14 and 2K14. You're still waiting on your copy of NBA Live 14, I believe.
Yes, I am. I'm hoping it's no on our lock. It'll be
first thing in the morning when I finally get it.
Naturally. But, well, you've got impressions of 2K14 then. Yeah. Would you like to share them?
Yeah.
Pretty boring board podcast if you don't.
It's like, go right ahead. I got nothing.
It's a game. Yeah. It's next gen. Moving on.
All right,
go ahead.
Okay, so far, you know, the leap from current gen to next gen, you can see the difference in a lot of ways, but there's still a lot of the sort of last gen feel about it. Obviously, I'm learning the new controls and all that stuff at the moment. I'm not a fan of the right stick shooting. I still hate that element.
The pro stick.
Yeah.
Screw them.
No, but when I'm trying to do like a crossover or try and move the character, he sometimes just jacks up the shot, and I'm like, no. There's like even some play like where you get some warning, like, or you get a message thing when you're playing a game, and then the first like thing it does is, because it happens when you go to inbound the ball, and as soon as it inbounds the ball to the player on the court, he just jacks up like basically a full court shot, and it's like, that's not what I wanted. I was wanting to dribble it up the court, not just lob it up. And,
you're supposed to tap it, right?
No, but this is the only thing. All I did was just inbound the ball, and it automatically just went into this action of just throwing it full court. And I'm like, what the hell is that? I think I did save it and put it up there. It was a what the F play, I think.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, all I did was just inbound the ball after getting some notification thing that popped up, and that's what happened. The only other error where I've had is in my career, but apparently in this patch that's supposed to be out now, but hasn't hit the European side, I'm guessing, of PSN, supposed to fix up in my career, where I'll be in a team training session, and all of a sudden the CPU takes over, and then basically bull rushes one of the teammates on the opposition. And then, yeah, this error message comes up and it gets taken to the home screen. I've got video of that on YouTube at the moment.
And I saw that too.
Yeah, and I sent that to
I want to mention, did you have turbo down? Because
no.
One thing that I've noticed is that it's a lot easier in next gen to run players over if you turbo into them.
Yeah, well,
like it happens often.
Yeah, no, but this is, I don't even have to push a button, and it always happens about 2 or 3 minutes into the team training session. It will automatically do it, and yeah, it gets this error message. So I haven't been able to progress until hopefully this patch. So yeah, it's apparently like a 2 gig patch, so fingers crossed.
Oh yeah.
Comes in tonight. I've just started my GM sort of thing. I'm only like a game or two into it, obviously, because of the my career part, how it kept crashing. I was like, oh, I'll try something else in the meantime. So again, not very far into it. I have been playing Killzone Shadowfall and Assassin's Creed 4 as well. So, but at the moment, yeah, it's not too bad. But I want to see what happens after this patch and spend a bit more time with it before I give a full evaluation. I still feel at this stage, from first impressions, CPU still takes over the player that you're controlling a bit, or is too animation heavy in a lot of instances. So that's still my hate in this sense. Like coming from last generation, I still feel that was an issue that bugged me. Gameplay wise, it's not too bad. Visually, yeah, it's impressive. The only thing menu wise, I hate the navigation in the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know I'm not alone on that one.
No, not at all. The one thing to know, though, is that, like, you know, I just want to make sure I say this, that I just double-checked it, loaded it up, and just made sure. There is an option in the options to change from default right stick controls to either just having it be isomotion and then with the trigger turning it into shots, or having it be shots by default and then with the trigger be dribble moves, which you'd probably want the first one where it's just dribble by default and then...
I hadn't changed any control settings, so it was all the default settings. That was
and you can use square for shoot too. So
yeah, well, all right. So I'll play around with that some more. And again, especially with this post patch thing where the player just sort of bull rushes. Hopefully that'll be take out the little quirks that have sort of put me off as playing it as much. I have been playing around with the shoot editor creator thing.
Saw that too.
Yes.
Yep.
I still think there's a lot that I would do with it, and I'd like to have fun with doing that. Yeah, so I love the opportunity to sort of come in from the ground up for next year and say, look, this is what I'd do with it, even just if it's like just a couple of hours of info put into it. And yeah, I think there's a potential for it to be better for the sneakerheads in the culture aspect of the game. But yeah, gameplay is solid. I can't knock anything in that sense. There's just those few little minor things that I have mentioned that had sort of hidden me from going further with it at this stage. I'll spend more time with it over the next couple of weeks, obviously, and have a more detailed opinion of it. And hopefully I'll be able to put my thoughts on the NLSC website and possibly under the code as well.
Well, that's definitely kind of what we're all about,
yep.
Basketball video games.
Yep.
So we'll be throwing our opinions out there. Anything else you want to go before I possibly rant?
I was just trying to make sure I wasn't too negative.
That's your opinion is your opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, those are pretty much what I had just put in. And I think once a lot of those little glitches and that, I mean, there's still a bit of clipping. Obviously, first year, new console, yeah. All right, I'll give it a pass for the moment. I'll play it out, see how it goes, and then I'll give my more in-depth analysis over the next couple of weeks.
Sure. But okay, then, shall I go ahead and offer a few of my own opinions?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up the PS4 last Friday, getting a midnight launch, which was kind of cool, and got home, played, funnily enough, the first game I played was NBA Live 14, perhaps not the best introduction to the next-gen console, and I'll get to that in a bit, but I have to be honest here, there's been times when, over the last few days of playing the PS4, that I felt like saying, does anyone want to buy a PS4, because I regret buying this so much.
Ooh.
And there's been times when I've just been so disappointed with every single game I bought. I bought 3, Live 14, 2K14, and Killzone, that I've felt like really disheartened about jumping on this new generation so quickly. I did post some initial impressions of both games, the basketball games, in the Friday Five last week. I'm not sure if you guys caught that at all, but I got attacked by a 2K fanboy who called me a spoiled baby for daring to not, daring to say a couple of negative things about the game.
You bastard.
Well, you know, he also called me retarded and misspelled retarded, so that's pretty much all you need to say about that. If you're listening, please go to your parents and apologize because you failed them and you will continue to fail them.
Yeah.
You sad little brat. I was playing NBA 2K14 earlier today. I quit the game. I hated every second that I was playing it because all the stuff that's really been annoying me about the PC version is there. And it annoys me, and I can see all the fantastic work. It looks great. When I popped it in, when I'm playing it for the first time, I'm like, wow, this is fantastic. After 5 minutes, oh, there that is. Oh, look, there's the psychic steals. Oh, look, the CPU is doing whatever the hell it wants while I miss layups all over the place, even though I'm wide open. Oh, look at that. They're shooting 80% from three-point range, even though I'm right in their face. Oh, look at that. I'm getting caught in the animation. And because this was sold as, it looks like current gen. No. You're mistaken. This is brand new. All this stuff. Hashtag rain. And it's not a terrible game. That's what Mr. Troll did not understand when he came at me with his stupid rhetoric last week. Is it's not a bad game. There's a lot of good stuff about it. But all this stuff that was there on the current gen and that really annoyed me is there still. And I know it's the first year and everything, but it really disappointed me when I saw it in the PC version because there's stuff that hasn't been cleaned up that really needed to be addressed instead of stupid LeBron modes and all those other stuff, and it wasn't. And the fact that it's made the jump to next gen, I feel disappointed. But I've been trying to get past that and say, okay, you know, it's still a pretty damn good game, looks amazing, has a lot to offer. I've only had it a few days, so I want to give it a chance. But to be honest, guys, pretty damn disappointed because it's just not been... maybe I was setting the bar too high, being a next-gen console and everything, but and maybe I bought too much into the hype that this is a brand new engine, which it is, and it's I don't want to discredit the work that Leftos and everyone else has done on it, but yeah, I feel let down, and that's a shame. I feel like I could have stuck with the PC version, and just because graphics aren't the most important thing to me, my career again, so much brilliant work has been put into it. I really hate what they've done with it. I flat out hate what they've done with it. They say 40 hours in the first year, 30 hours of that cutscenes, because that I think I must have I've probably played about 10 minutes of gameplay in the first couple of hours with the mode. It's yeah, wrong direction, nothing at all. My GM, I've said it before, the use of VC there, terrible. Not no excuse for that at all. For
Did you use your 500 to get the coaching?
Well, actually, no. I used 450 because I got the discount, so that was 50 VC. So yay! But that's a small thing, and VC's been. I got the got a bunch of VC to buy my suit in my career, so I had that saved over, and a couple of locker codes have come out, so extra VC, one fantastic. And that mode's looking pretty good, I got to say. And if I can get past the gameplay stuff and get it through my mind, yes, this stuff's still a problem, but the gameplay can be pretty good. But yeah, I'm not feeling it. I quit out of a game earlier today, just so frustrated with the psychic steals and Udonis Haslam playing the passing lanes like Michael Jordan in his prime, running up court for the layup. I'm like, oh, no, I'm sorry. And if the fanboys want to come at me and say, that I'm a spoiled baby, or it's one person, but I'm still going to call them out. If they want to come at me and say that stuff just because I'm daring to criticize what is still a fantastic game, again, don't get me wrong, but has some issues that really, really piss me off. You got to call it how it is. And maybe with a bit more time and, getting my head around the stuff that there is that annoyances there, I'll be okay with it. I'll keep playing it, but right now, it's yeah.
But how do you feel like about Real Voice?
Real Voice,
the interviews.
See, all that stuff's cool, and that's I can certainly appreciate all that stuff. It's kind of funny to see Doris Burke's mic just appear in her hand sometimes out of nowhere. First time I saw that, I was like, "Whoa, that's that was weird." And
that really weird
the really weird glitch when LeBron slides in and out of the. Did you post that, John? Was that you?
The
animated GIF of LeBron sliding out.
Oh, sliding! No. That was from NeoGAF, and then Shadow posted it.
Can someone send me that one?
I'll get you.
I mean, I haven't come across that. I mean, that's pretty funny. But that's small stuff. And again, a lot of great work has gone into this, and there's a lot of solid stuff. But so far, the annoyances, unfortunately, maybe I was expecting too much. I mean, I appear to be in the minority. I don't like the fact that the CPU is looking to drive so much to the point that, especially because I feel a step slow on defense, I still feel that the CPU can just breeze around the court, and meanwhile the user's heavy and plodding. That's how it still feels to me. I don't know, maybe I suck, at the game. let's throw it out there. But I don't know. I guess my experience has been different to everyone else because I just haven't been enjoying it, and we haven't even gone to NBA Live 14 yet. But
so. My question, I mean, obviously, it's funny because you mentioned a lot of things that either I've learned to work around or I just don't have. Like, I haven't had issues with psychic steals. And
really?
Really, really. And
because,
I don't,
they were just like button reading all over the place with me.
Because I'm going to blame NBA Live on this. I've started playing slower in 2K because of NBA Live. And in playing slower, what I've noticed is that some of the players will actually... You know how in my career you can face guard somebody?
Yes.
The computer is actually starting to do that, at least in next gen. I've been playing with my community ballless crap on PC because we haven't had servers for the past 4 days. But on PC, I haven't noticed it because I'm playing with the crappy players. But on next gen, I'm seeing a lot of players... face guard. So yep. and they face guard certain players. So what I'm thinking is that maybe you mentioned Haslam doing the Jordan steals. I don't know if it's maybe that because he's trying to face guard whoever you're trying to pass it to. And what I've noticed is I've been trying to do the play calling and then have them cut to the basket when I notice that to get around them to do the backdoor. I mean, I'm not saying I haven't. I've of course ran into situations where I've had animations take me out of bounds or, hey, you're going to take a shot here. No, I don't want to take a shot here. No, you're going to take a shot here. And had stuff like that happen.
I guess I'm just a bit sick of that stuff, and I hoped that would be ironed out a bit more, perhaps, in the next gen. And again, I know it's the first year, but yeah, I guess.
And then, of course, you at least have sliders for this that you could.
Indeed. And there's a lot I can do with it. And I want to stress again before, well, hey, you know, send us the hate mail. Send it to LeftOSAT. No. I mean, it is. And this is something that the person who did respond to the who did send me the that rather childish reply to the Friday Five is I said these are early impressions and they're not great first impressions, but I can change my mind as I spend more time with it and play around with settings. And,
no, you can't.
that's right. You know. Oh, then I'm flip flopping, of course. Yeah. But I mean, one thing that I realized today when I was playing before I hadn't changed the setting to. For the stick to from camera relative to absolute, which is my preferred setting. So I changed that, and it was a little better. But I still found myself having a bit of a bad run, and perhaps then when a few things went wrong, I played a little sloppy. And that's the other thing why I want to keep playing the game and make sure that, you know, it's just one of those things where you get a bit frustrated when a few things go wrong, and then suddenly everything starts to go wrong, and there may be a bit of that. But yeah, it's not quite been the experience that I was hoping for, but there's obviously a lot there and a lot that's been put in. I do think my career has gone in a direction I really don't like. Because everything you talked about when you were telling me about it and telling us about it rather on the podcast in the last couple of weeks, I experienced that. So it's like it feels very predetermined. And I know that on last gen or current gen, whatever you want to call it, everyone's experience in my career, I guess, was kind of the same in so much as if you played well, you got into the starting lineup very quickly and that, but there was still a little bit of difference. Here, it doesn't feel like anything I do matters because they've got the storyline mapped out. And it's funny that, you know, in the intro of my career, it says, this is my story. I'm not going to let anyone tell it but me. And it's like, well, but the game's pretty much scripted the storyline. So, you know, that's whatever story that you want to tell, I guess. I'm certainly not directing this picture. But
Wait, is this stuff by Michael Bay?
Not that many explosions, but...
there is plenty of lens flare.
Yeah. But, you know...
It's funny, because I haven't touched it. I really haven't touched it since, God, how far am I? I just did, like, the second 50 free throw challenge. Have you gotten one of those yet?
Yeah.
I've played a couple of games, hated it so much, and I'm not touching my career again. I can say that was
I missed two free throws in a row, and I had this thing. You want to work? You know, you want to go to the gym, work out with me? Yeah. I'll work out. You know, that's good. I'm paving things over with Thaddeus Young, and he's gonna love me again, and we're gonna be teammates and bros for life and everything. And then it's make 50 free throws in a row without missing two in a row. It's like, oh,
yeah.
I've done the 50 free throws, and then it was the
20 shots.
Yeah, 20 jump shots.
Yeah, that one too. That was fun.
And like, even if you do it like a layup and you miss a layup, it restarts it, even though the layups don't technically count towards your total.
Yeah.
Yeah. the other issue that I've had, we were talking before the restart of recording, and that was the VC. Like, I mean, I'm not as patient as I used to be, so I bought like 5,000 VC that I was hoping to use in my career. Just to sort of get some
boost.
Yeah, and I couldn't even use it in trying to update my ratings or and things like that. And I was like, and that was even though that was in the mode that I had purchased it in. And it was like, well, damn, that was just BS.
That's beer money for crying out loud.
Yeah, exactly. That's a pot of beer right there.
Yeah. But I will give it, you know, I've got to give it to my GM because, of course, left those. But you know, a lot of great stuff there. conversation having with the GM at the start of or the owner rather, you know, and you give the moderate answer, and he's like, just get it done. I'm like, oh, that's polite. It actually reminded me of some of the replies you get from the PDA in the old NBA Live.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you're a real jerk, aren't you? I can't wait to get up my VC and buy this team. You're out of here. But yeah, so I will keep giving it a go. I don't mind saying something provocative because it's not really something I do very often. But I honestly disappointed. But you know, you got to give these things a go, and that's why I don't like the mainstream, the gaming media reviews, because it's a very superficial look. You know,
well, it makes me feel bad because you know I talked up the game because I'm still enjoying it. And I really want you to use that share feature on the PS4 and show me one of the psychic steals you're having.
Yeah.
Just so I can see. Because like, I was waiting for Ben to complain about, you know, some of the controls and stuff or something with dribbling. And I was just going to say to you, Ben, all you do is spin. I've seen your gameplay videos. Spin move, spin move, spin move.
I did. And I was going to... I did two spins in one play. It was one play. It was two spins. And you needed, and this is that was the first video I uploaded. And
it's too many spins.
Well, I will say
there was one shot that I did. I think it was today or yesterday. Where I think it was yesterday actually. I was playing and I did one spin move that was controlled. I admit that. And then I took a shot. But LeBron said, "Nah, fuck it. I want to do another spin move before I throw up a little teardrop shot." I was like, "Well, I didn't do that. You did."
I think you really need to not use the shot stick. That seems like it's the biggest issue from what you've been telling me, what I've seen in your Facebook videos and everything.
Yep.
I really think you need to just give up on shot stick.
Yeah, well, I don't like shot stick. I don't want it. I hate it. That's why I've...
Then use square to shoot.
Yeah, and that's what I do. That's what I use.
And he did another spin move.
Yeah, and it did another spin move before he jacked it up.
Doesn't make sense. But then the other thing...
I wish I got video of it, but it wouldn't have really made a difference because I couldn't actually show you the button press.
Yeah,
but yeah. It was like one move, and then all of a sudden he does a spin move and shoots. And I was like, okay.
Well, you have PlayStation Eye, don't you?
I don't have the camera yet. I'm going to get that soon. Probably in the new year.
Then we can do our video cast.
Yes.
There we go.
I will say I've had moments. You know that meme with the gorilla or whatever it is, you know, at first I was like, and then it's a grumpy face, and then I was like, and then it's the smiley face, you know, the one I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of how I'd sum up my experience with 2K14 so far, in so much as I have had a couple of games that have gone quite well and enjoyed, but yeah, it's, I got to give it more of a chance. So far, not what I was expecting.
Initial impression's not good. And I feel bad. Like I said, I feel bad because I really wish I could have conveyed some of that stuff to you, but I don't know how else I could have.
By this time next week when we're recording, I'll be saying, that guy last week was an idiot. what were you talking about past me? You know. And again, I want to stress, I'm not saying it's a terrible game, but right now the annoyances that I have with the game, some of them which have been there for a couple of years, that I'm perhaps hoping were ironed out, especially with the generational jump. Yeah, I think they're holding me back a bit. Maybe I just need to get over it and the touting
of the new engine and all that stuff is thinking, oh, you know,
it's
clean
maybe
code. Hopefully, it's
bought into the hype a little bit too much. You know, and the hashtags. And they're right there on Twitter. But yeah, but we'll see how it goes. But I mean, let's just say it's a far more polished game and a far better game than NBA Live 14. Do not get me wrong what I'm saying about the game and saying that it is an awful game and that everyone who worked on it should, you know, uppercut themselves and send me chocolates and all
send
kinds
me
of
chocolates.
Things. But, you know, but well, you know.
You'll need to do a lot of running after that.
Yeah, yeah. But,
there'll be no holiday for Andrew this year. The amount of chocolate that he's eaten.
Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
I reserve the right to change my mind, and again by this time next week with a bit of you know, playing it more often and having setting aside you know, time to really get into it and play a few games nonstop and say, okay, yeah, that's the way it is, or okay, I'm making a mistake here, or I'm getting too sloppy here, and it's me, not it, you know, it's not you, it's me. No, We'll see how it goes. But NBA Live 14, John, yeah, you and Pat haven't been kidding about what you were saying about the game. And, I mean, it's funny. I said in the Friday Five, in a way, I'm more disappointed in 2K14, not because I think it's the inferior game, but because I was expecting it to be better and because they've set the bar so high for themselves. And that's the other thing with 2K14 as well. The bar is really high, so the expectations are high. With Live 14, I tempered the expectations a bit, obviously, and then hearing the initial reactions even more. So, what can you say? It's it is not the game that they needed to make a comeback with, is really how I'd put it. And I know I'm really selling it to you now, Ben. getting the game, you know, your impressions next week. Don't let that taint you. It's like a lot of people have been saying, you can see bits and pieces of good. And when something really good happens, you're like, oh, that looked good, or oh, that was nice. That worked out. was not awkward looking at all. But for the most part, you can see the basics are there, and there's people saying they need to scrap the engine and rewrite it.
No.
That's what's killed the series in the past. No, but it needs polish, and it definitely needs these patches that are coming. And yeah, it's very, I mean, I think I can play 2K14. Well, I know I can play 2K14, get over these issues that I've been ranting about for the last 10, 15, 20 minutes or so. Live 14, to play that, I will, and really enjoy that. Apart from game-winning shot, big moments, because this is only about 5 or 10 seconds of gameplay, so you're not noticing too many issues there. To play that and play it as thoroughly as I have in the past, and how thoroughly I've played 2K13, or how thoroughly I'd hopefully be playing 2K14, it will definitely need these patches that are going to be pushed through. So I'm hoping that they can really do a great job with the updates that are coming for NBA Live 14, because they are needed. And of course, I'm disappointed there too, to actually play that and see and experience what others have been criticizing so far. And I'm glad they were able to get a game out. I don't think they should give up. I think there's still too much potential there, too much passion, too much commitment, too much good stuff on the team. They just need to keep it together, avoid turmoil, and build on it, get these patches out, everything. But yeah, I mean, I've wanted to see NBA Live come back for years now, obviously, growing up with the series, but yeah, it's not been a great week for me as far as my basketball gaming is concerned, unfortunately. Not as exciting as I was hoping it was going to be. I did know that Live 14 was not going to be the game that we were all hoping it was going to be. The basics are there. Rising Star is, it's very bare bones. They needed to get into the game. I think that's the best I can say about it. They've got the skeleton in the game. It needs to be fleshed out. Compared to, I mean, even as much as I don't like the direction of my career has taken, as when you do actually get to play the game and you're not just going through cutscenes, you know, the AI is there with the teammates and everything. It's a much more polished experience overall. Rising Star's not there yet. Dynasty, okay. It's again, needs to be fleshed out in future years. More along the lines of MyGM or expanded what they do. You know, it depends. Perhaps they should go in their own direction rather than MyGM. I'm not sure. They do need to at this time, but I don't know which would be the better way to go off the top of my head, but certainly continue to build on that. From a gameplay standpoint, yeah, got to have those patches, basically. It's because it's just not the... Yeah, like I said, I can... With 2K14, I feel that I will be able to enjoy it once I get over the issues or tweak it or whatever I have to do. Live 14, it's going to have to come from EA. But I guess I knew what I was getting into from your impressions and everything. But prepare yourself, Ben.
Prepare your buttocks.
There is good stuff there. You can see it. And when it happens, you can see the potential. But
I have seen, it's rough. I have seen a few different people play it and that, and you know, there is moments of good, yes, there is moments of ugliness and that, but yeah, I'm more prepared in I think with Live 14 in a lot of ways than some of the stuff that was expected or that I've seen in 2K14. Like, yeah, I think 2K14 could have had a little bit more polish to a lot of ways.
Well, maybe it's just the bar was set high, like, yeah. As I said, we expect so much, yeah, because it has been such a great series, yeah. And maybe too much. Yeah, but
I would really like you to do a live stream of your initial startup of Live 14, Ben.
Okay.
I'm not even kidding. I'm serious.
All right. I'll set that.
Because My issue this week with Live 14, because, you know, I was a smart person and I didn't stop playing it like I said I was going to, because I hate myself. The biggest issue that
we're just going to let that slide, aren't we?
I feel lied to. So, again, last week, this is a weird one to bring up just because of the holiday and everything. But we were promised, you know, hour after updates.
Yep.
And it looks like it's really only hour after the game updates for only the ratings and only the tendencies for the base game, not for rosters, not for live season, and not for big moments, which I can understand big moments, but why live season? I mean, it was so disappointing to see that Kyrie Irving doesn't have the face mask. OJ Mayo has the wrong number. There's a couple other wrong numbers still in the league. We have the point guard and S guard issues that we see in the live season and the big moment challenges. And, you know, I had the issue with ball warping, which we talked about, and how that wasn't supposed to be able to happen with the new engine. That wasn't supposed to be just possible, which we talked about with the collision and everything.
Yeah, and I've had that experience in actually 2K14 as well. And basically,
well, 2K14 warps all over the place. At the same time, though, that wasn't an advertised feature that they weren't going to get rid of any ball warping, that they have a new live ball mechanics that remove that. No, they, you know, it's still animation driven, as you said, which is very true. My biggest issue, though, was with the Derek Williams trade. Derek Williams had been underperforming for the Timberwolves. He goes over to the Kings, first game, makes a big, you know, improvement, has a pretty much breakout game. And he did it again and again and again. And this morning, right before we started this podcast, Wednesday morning for the U.S., finally, the trade had went through for Live 14. It wasn't on Monday. It wasn't on Tuesday. It was on Wednesday. So that's three business days for a trade for a player that had who, honestly, he should have had one of those big moments, challenges for what he did on Friday. That's how good of the performance I thought it was. And it was, you know, highly regarded on SportsCenter. It was talked about on, you know, RealGM and the Reddit and everything else. It was talking about how great Derek Williams played. And it's like, oh, this is cool. Well, I know for a fact that that 2K14 is not going to have a roster update. And that's when the server issue started for the PC version of 2K14. So
they did push through an update before that that does have it, the latest update that I've been able to get does have the trade in it, I believe.
Update the thing on the update the download, please. Did you?
I did, yeah.
Well, bugger me then, okay.
It also raises, I believe, Derek Rose's endurance or his hardiness. Weird edits, but yeah, it's there.
But it was one of those things where it's like my plan for this year of basketball gaming was that PC was going to be my stupid street mods, 2K14 was going to be my career modes where I play my GM and I play online if I want to, and then Live 14 was going to be the stuff that was like I said to you guys, I want to play the game an hour after the game is done. I want to be able to play that live season game right then and there. I want to be able to have the most up-to-date rosters and everything. And this is, you know, and remember, they told us, remember, you know, made fresh daily? Well, now it's made fresh hourly. BS. That is the part that hurt the most, just as someone who wanted to see EA come back. And, you know, all the things I've talked about the past 2-3 weeks, whatever the hell it's been, the ups and downs I've had with that frigging game. And then I told you before we started, I checked it, and you know they have the trade in. It made me happy, and then I wanted to double up because I had the highlights from last night up on YouTube, and I saw that Josh Smith is no longer wearing two arm sleeves. He's only wearing one on his left arm, and he was wearing two the last time I remember seeing Josh Smith. So I wanted to see if that got updated. Sure enough, it got updated. So it's just, oh, it's so frustrating. And it's funny because I played one quarter of the game and I had a blast with it. I didn't have any of the... It played exactly the idealist way that Live 14 could play. I listened to how the game wanted me to play, and I had good. I did good picks and rolls. I ran a couple of plays. I had a lot of fun with bounce tech dribbling and everything. And on defense, you know, I was making good defensive plays and, you know, I was playing very smart and everything. But there's that part of me that knows that if I just move 3 feet out of the way from where I'm supposed to stand, that this game's going to freaking break. Because it doesn't understand that the user isn't acting like an NBA player or whatever, you know, the actual issue is. That's the hypothesis that I said. That's something that Pat said. Last week. And actually, funnily enough, the post on Operation Sports that I posted about that with has like, I think it was like a dozen likes by people. So evidently it's a shared opinion that, you know, Live is just expecting the user to behave a certain way and doesn't really work well when they don't. Which is a user. Yeah. When do we behave like we're supposed to?
Yeah. So, in the spirit of the season, what you're saying is you're not thankful for the updates and you feel like a turkey for believing that they were...
Yeah, I'm serious. And it's unfortunate. I really wish that both of these friggin' companies would just pay someone to work from home. Pay me $5,000, $10,000. I don't care. Either one of these damn games and just say, hey, after every night, if there's a trade that gets announced or something, push the update. Yeah. And then and if it turns out the trade gets called back because of physicals failing or whatever, remove the players and put them back into free agents or put them back on their original team. Or if someone gets sent to the D League, throw them in the FA pool. Why can they not just have one friggin' person do this when we have all these users on OS and the NLSC doing daily friggin' roster updates?
I have a feeling too much is automated, perhaps, that it's and the system is not set up to account for things like this.
And that's what I thought. That was the first thing that I said when I was talking about the Derek Williams trade. I was like, you know what? I remember with Live 09 or Live 10 that both players had to play on their new teams before they could be updated, because I think that was when the Vince Carter trade happened or something. And
sounds familiar, yeah.
And they wanted to play with Vince Carter on the new team, but he was still on the Nets or, you know, wherever the hell it was. And, you know, people wanted to play with him, but he had to play on the new team first. So I was like, okay, I'll give him a chance, and, you know, until Derek Williams and Onabute play on the right teams. And they already played. They played already, yeah. And it didn't happen still. So I was like, great, now we're beyond last gen. And I know it's the holidays and all that stuff, but to make it till Wednesday for this crap, I'm sorry to go on a rant like that, but it just...
Oh, after my rant, I think it's okay.
I don't know why. The problem is, there's a lot of lists going around about how the new generation is the generation of freemium, or really it's just premium, because yeah. We pay for the games and then do free-to-play after. And what's funny is that all of these sites are listing 2K14 as a perpetrator of this because of the VC system. And it's because the VC you earn, I just earned $150 playing one, or 100, 100 I wish it was $150, 150 VC for just completing a game. I got my ass royally kicked. And that gets me jack-ish. I cannot get anything for that. But you know what? Tonight, when I take a crap on the toilet and I load up the My 2K14 app on my tablet, I'm going to be able to earn over 1,000 VC just by pressing one freaking envelope. And, you know, they're talking about how the only real way to progress quickly and to unlock everything in the store, someone was going to do a calculation of how much it would cost to buy everything in the My Player store to unlock all content. And I never even thought of that. I never even thought that I'm missing out on not owning all the Bulls gear in the store. And then it kind of started making sense how this is a freemium kind of model. Whereas at least, yeah. Like, you know, when we have... I'm making a direct comparison to Live 2004, when we have the store that I mentioned, I think it was last week even, yep. Where you earn the in-game points and you unlock it.
Was it 2005 we actually had a nice NBA storefront?
Yep, 2005 did too, yeah, and it was a lot better, and they had a lot more things that you could get, and then 06, 07 was just shoes, and no one cares about shoes. So, sorry, man.
not without real lace movement, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, that just reminded me of that tweet that I sent to you earlier today, John, from Scott Lowe, how he made the mention of the hair. I don't know if you saw it. I sent it to you on Skype.
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
But okay, I see it.
Yeah.
But no, it's just I didn't think of that. I was missing out on anything on 2K, and I kind of realized that I am. And the VC we earn is so minimal. And I had to play, I think it was 4 games of my team to be able to afford a bronze pack.
Yeah.
And that means I'd have to play at least 16 games, I think, before I could afford a gold pack.
It really does push the
and I said
the microtransactions. Yeah.
And I said that I hate VC to begin with. And the problem that I hate is that I love the XP system in Live 14. I want to play right now because I know there's a leaderboard that I could try to dominate by getting triple doubles with MC Dub or with Oladipo.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that'll be a challenge. I'd love to be able to recreate that. That sounds fun to me. That sounds fantastic for me to play like that and to play against the AI if it would freaking work. It just... I'm not going to say I'm like you where I want to sell the PS4 because I'm having way too much fun with Need for Speed Rivals, but also
I need to get that. I need to get a game that I really like out of the box. As I said, I got Killzone as well, and it's okay, but I'm not a huge FPS person, and it hasn't really changed my mind on that.
Yeah, for me, FPS games, I can only play little periods of time. It doesn't draw me in like a third person game does in a lot of ways. So,
but that's my problem with these basketball games, because my GM's nice and I'm waiting for the updated rosters to really get into it. But I don't know if there's any mode in these games because of Live 14's quality or because of 2K14's limited on features. If there's anything that's here that's going to really hold my attention. Seriously, when Vlad sent me that Red MC beta, I was like, hey, PC version, welcome back into my life. And then I didn't turn back. I went, I think it was like 3 days not playing the PS4. And then Need for Speed Rivals happened.
I should say.
It makes me sad.
I said that, and I went back away from the statement, as I have felt. That's how disappointed I feel at times, but I'm not selling my PS4.
No, don't. No.
But I also will say, if I can quote Simon and Garfunkel, of all people here, Bethesda, I turn my lonely gaming eyes to you for a new Fallout game. That will that will sell me on this console because I don't know whether my PC is, which is 4 years old, may not run at the resolution everything that I want. But, and as you're going back, John, going back to NBA Live 14, and I'll do it as well. I know that I'll do it and continue to do it as far as the patch. And again, you've got the patch for 2K14.
I haven't noticed anything. I played Park, and I got some games in Park, and it made me regret making a 6'6", 300-pound person. I really need to make a 7'2", lanky arm, because I play like a center. Even in Park, I like playing like as a center. And if I'm going to be able to compete against any of these bastards, I need to actually play have a character that's a center, which makes me terrified because that means I have to play a little bit of new my career. If I have to do that jump shooting thing with a friggin' center, that better scale. That better scale to my guy's abilities.
Yeah. But
I just want to add to you, probably for the last 5-10 minutes, I forgot about the demo of Live 14, so I've just started downloading it.
Good. I was gonna ask you. I was like, "What about the demo?" But and then I remember that you said something about the 2 GB patch, and I was like, "Oh, maybe he doesn't have the bandwidth or something."
No, I got 500 GB a month download, or 550 a month. Sorry, yeah, 550.
It's more than me.
Yeah,
I got 200. So yeah.
Evidently, I'm at 250, and that scares the crap out of me. Because
so what, you're telling me I'm the shortest here at 6'3 and a half, and I've also got the smallest download limit? Well, it makes a man feel inadequate. But because, I can walk into most rooms and be the tallest guy in the room, but you guys are 6'6 and over. So it's like, look at that short 6'3 and a half. Don't worry, you'll get there one day, Andrew. But yeah, because the patch hasn't come through for the international market yet, I haven't checked probably in about 6 hours or so. That's something else, because apparently it has changed a few things with gameplay that, again, that might have been bothering me. So, again, yeah, that's why we can continue to check 2K14 now, the stuff that continue to push through Live 14 again. But I just remembered one thing about NBA Live 14 that has bothered me. And I mentioned this in the... Friday Five, which again, our delightful friend called me retarded about this idea. Thank you, jerk. keeping it clean. But is the free throw shooting in Live 14? Oh, it really needs that. You know, I know the team meter is old school, and I'm ridiculously old school when it comes to that. But I would much prefer that to what we've got in 14, because 14 tries to ape what 2K14 tries to copy what 2K14 does, and other 2K games hold, shoot, and release at the right point. But you don't have the indicator, that visual cue that you have with 2K, unless there's something I'm missing, John, with the free throws. There's no flash on the indicator or anything, is there, that I'm overlooking?
I don't know. But at least with 2Ks, it's so apparent when to stop. With lives, it does that. If you hold it too long, it does that hitch. And it still works, because I do the hitch, and I wait like a second of the hitch, and then I let go, and it still goes in. So I don't know when the timing is.
Okay, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try shooting it badly now.
Don't. You know what I'm doing? Seriously, and I think that you need to do this too. And Ben, maybe when you get it, you need to do it to avoid throwing the controller through the TV screen because of the betrayal. It's not a betrayal, I know. But
we do changing
it to real percentages or rating base instead of user timing.
Okay.
Because I don't want to do... It's the timing in that game screws me up for 2K. And I'm sorry, but I play 2K games, not one live game. So I'm going to be changing
but
it, I think.
Like I said, 2K has got that visual cue, the flash and the player indicator. And as much as I would prefer to have more control over the free throw, the aim, even when I want to miss it intentionally, you know, aim it left or whatever, and that's why I still love the old school team meter, at least with 2K you do have that visual cue in the player indicator so that I know, okay, I wasn't too great on the timing, but with live... Need something. And of course, actually, Pat mentioned something in the forum about it with the watching the feet or something, but of course you can't do that in Rising Star because of the close-up camera angle when you're taking a free throw. So it's, yeah, they really need to do something with free throw shooting because it's, yeah, I think I'm probably shooting about one of 10 or something in Rising Star so far. It's, yeah, it's kind of bad. Kind of Chris Dudley bad, but yeah, it's and that was something else that popped in my mind. As specific, I mean, obviously there's the AI quirks that we've come before, but yeah, this is why I love the team meter. This is why I stick to my old school. It's why I go back to NBA Live '95. Them physics.
Them physics though.
Yeah. Slow motion dunks. But yeah, it's but that is, I suppose the great thing is that. They are doing those patches, and even if those things have come across from the next to this new generation, that releasing products and then sort of using the user base as a sort of an extended beta testing of way or quality control QA. At least if they can push through these great updates and 2 gig of updates, you know, that's a pretty substantial patch.
It so. Better be at least. But I haven't really. I just play, like I said, I just played a game. I didn't really notice anything too different.
Yeah, but you enjoy it, and you don't suck like I do. Clearly. And I've got to be self-deprecating because, you know, clearly I'm wrong about all this stuff. No, but it's... We'll see, I guess. But, yeah, look forward to that Live 14 stuff, Ben. But, but yeah, I'm actually surprised you haven't checked out the demo yet.
I kind of forgot all about it, because I did go into the store, like PSN store... But I've been even trying to activate the 14-day trial because I really want to try Resogun. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, that's why I'm not selling my PS4 because I already paid the $70 for the PlayStation Plus. So, I'm not...
so but yeah, I can't seem to activate my 14-day trial of PS Plus. So I'm like, damn it, I really want to. But I've never activated it before, so it's kind of surprised that it hasn't happened yet, like or that I haven't been able to unlock it. I'm about 35-40% downloaded the demo now, and I've only been downloading it for like 10 minutes.
Ooh, I think we need to stay up late tonight. I want to hear this. I really do. I really, 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 really want to know what you think about this game.
No,
because I'm not saying you have a sculpted view. I'm just saying you have this kind of you have a different view of the game than Andrew and I.
Yep.
And
Because you haven't played it yet. Well, yeah.
But even still, even if you know all three of us hadn't played it, I mean, I'm sorry, Andrew, but I think that Ben's impressions, it would be more interesting to me just because I don't know if it's your background. I don't know if it's...
Boring voice? You can say it.
It's not the boring voice.
My stupid opinions. Hell, just tell us how you really feel. No, sorry, go on.
No, it's just... I'm very, very interested to hear about what you think about this game, and I really, that's why I like the live stream, because you get to experience it with the viewers. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. I just want to check what you mean, by the way, with my background, and just so I...
You're a mod for them. When you were modding for EA, and you got the...
Okay.
The EA background, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, no worries.
Well, it's not racist, because we all of us couldn't be more white if we tried. So...
No, I did it.
You took that a different way.
Yeah. That's totally not where I was going with that.
It's like, oh, the convict background of Australia. I see where you're going.
No, I have developed three games in my career in that, so I wasn't too sure if you were meaning that or if you're meaning the patch.
No, that too.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I mean, you have a very, just like how I do with street stuff and arcadey things, and Andrew's more of a sim career kind of long term, you know, longevity kind of player. and then I don't have a way to describe you, Ben. That's. I don't. It's not a bad thing. I don't have a way to stereotype you as a certain type of player, Andrew. Well, hey, Andrew, you're the stereotyping person. What's Ben?
I'm the stereotyping person. Oh, great. So now that's the stereotyping me, Andrew. You're the one who labels everyone. I think Ben strikes me as a bit of a hybrid. You know, not to the point of, oh, well, look at this. I need to lower the shooting percentages, so I'll pass up this open dunk. Oh, and I'll throw it out of bounds too. Not enough turnovers. But, I don't know. I guess I guarantee there are people who do it. But no, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, but you strike me as someone who does like to play the Sim style but can get a bit loose and fun with it as well.
Yeah,
to
well,
the point of,
yeah. Like... I mean, I think, especially with Live 09, like, I mean, I played more SimNet, and I've said that in previous podcasts. The last couple of games, like, since then, like, Live 10 and all that, I think I got a little bit more relaxed in a way that I played. I still tried playing Sim to a degree, but definitely nowhere near to the degree that I had, like, making use of the big man and all that stuff that I had in the key and that.
I just thought of something. You know how in our interview with Scott, he mentioned that great line, so Simmy stops at red lights in
in GTA. Yep, yep.
I'm so Sim, I take jump shots in NBA Jam. How about that?
Oh! The mid-range game.
Yeah.
It does exist.
Tim Kisro, what's he doing? Playing the wrong game. Boom, shakalaka.
You know what's funny though is I'm someone whenever I play online and one of the animations take over or whatever, and someone gets a BS over and back call, or they run out of bounds and on an inbounds or something, and it clearly was the game's fault, not their fault. I will purposely turn the ball over to give them the ball back just because that's BS.
That's fair play. That's sportsmanship, I think. Well, okay. Above everything else, yeah.
Whenever
you wouldn't see it in real life. You're like if. The Bulls are playing the Heat, and well, I was going to say Derrick Rose, but he's not going to be playing anytime soon. if Marquise T gets a backcourt violation, and it's obviously a terrible call, you know, you're not going to see LeBron just step out of bounds or something to give him the ball back. So that's not similar, okay? That's just good sportsmanship, or incredibly foolish. I mean, you got that game, man. It's yours to win when it all costs.
Do that on a live stream. What are you doing?
What was the original question again?
What kind of player are you?
What kind of gamer are you?
Yeah, that's right. All right. I'm Sim, but I'm not too worried about setting up, you know, team specific plays and that. I think I like to try and read the situation and, you know, and yes, I like to try and attack the basket in the game and that try and get dunks and all that stuff. Or like, when I was playing Live 09 and that was definitely using the pick and roll game or playing low in the low post game and stuff like that. But without, you know, doing the set team player stuff, it was more just reading the situation in the game and doing it that way, not strategically saying, okay, this player must go here to trigger this player as such. So yeah, I think that's probably the way I could describe how I play, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, does it bug you when a player who shouldn't be performing a certain way, like Chris Duhon? That's my go-to.
Yeah,
hating on Chris Duhon every week.
Well, the
it's just like when he's like busts out 40 points and 15 assists all the time, you know.
Well, the game that I was playing earlier today, which was posted some videos of, it was the 96-97 Lakers versus the current Miami Heat, and Shaq was making these free throws when he got fouled. I'm like, that shouldn't be happening. he should be 48% from memory around that time. That was his shooting percentage around that.
That's bugged me in pretty much every basketball game ever, every sim game ever, is Shaq the test. CPU. Sorry?
The Shaq test.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic name for it, John. Absolutely. You know, when a bad free throw shooter in the hands of the CPU, it just always knocks down the free throws. I'm like,
yeah.
It's gotten better over time, but yeah, that's definitely a pet peeve of mine. And that's the best, you know, the Shaq test. I like it. That's the best, you know, example of the CPU just, you know, flipping its virtual middle finger and saying, yeah, you stupid bastard.
FYI, 55-56% downloaded so far of the demo.
Well, if we can spin this out, you know.
FYI to you guys. Little game. I just, since I said the VC thing about you know, feeling that you're not getting the full game for when you pay for it.
Yep.
I decided to put it to the test, and what's the best way to put this? I play blacktop mode. That's my mode.
No,
you're joking.
And
sorry, go on.
Seriously, Lefto style.
Lefto. Seriously? Sorry, that's as good as I can do. I'm so sorry, Leftos.
So it was 2, 5, 10, 20. Okay. So I just said, get out of here, cat. You hearing this?
Was that a cat or a kid in the background that I just heard? That's okay, what I was
one second,
say.
Excuse me. Get out of here. Go annoy with someone else.
This is my favorite episode ever, by the way.
I went through that son of a bitch mode and decided to add up how much VC it would cost to unlock every player that's locked. Because remember, what I usually do when I play blacktop mode is I hold the trigger down and I hold down on the right, on the left stick, and just keep tapping select so I get random players. I can't do that on next gen because whenever I do that, I always get to what's the best way to put it? It always chooses the people who that are locked that behind VC. So I clicked on a couple to see how much they cost to unlock, and the star players are 250 VC, which that is kind of a kick in the nuts a little bit. You know, that means you have to play two full games to be able to afford that player. While you guys were talking, I went through every single locked player, both current and legendary, to figure out how much VC it would truly cost to unlock everyone. There are 48 legend players that are locked, and there are 59 current players that are locked. Andrew, how much do you think it costs to unlock every single player in the game for blacktop mode?
Say about, what were those numbers again, sorry?
There's 59 current players, and there's 48 legendary players.
So I'm guessing about over 250,000 VC? Hang on.
250,000? Wait, what?
Yeah.
A quarter million VC?
Math is not my strong suit. Hang on.
This man does rosters, people.
There's no maths in that. Typing in
25,000.
Clicking reading.
About 25,000 or so VC.
And what do you say, Andrew?
Yeah, no, I added extra zeros. I added extra zeros. Yeah, 25,000, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's 20,000.
20,000, yeah.
20,200. And So let's do some math. Let's have some fun. Let's have some fun with this number.
Yeah, let's do math, because I just do so well with that.
That means you have to play 135 quick games to earn that.
By which point you may be a little bit tired of the game.
Yes.
Not tired of the game. I don't know if I play 135 complete games in the entire year. I own the damn game because I don't
really.
Well, I don't play it like you guys do. I mod.
my mistake.
But
well, how about this? I mean,
it would cost me $10. I think it would be for 20,000. Is it $10 for 20,000 VC? I loaded up Live 14
like that, yeah.
So yeah. Well, Andrew said that he wanted to do the buzzer beater, so you did the buzzer beater. I want to beat your score on that. But the Westbrook buzzer
beater. Go big.
I made the shot. You win. Here's some cake. Thanks, mate.
I think it would really benefit from like what WWE games have done, and they, of course, 2K have taken that over now, and they did it again this year. Having the accelerator that if you want to unlock everything, you know, you can pay, you know, token $2 or whatever. And
but why
just...
would they? Because right now, if you get 80,000 VC, which is $20, you know, that could you spend a fourth of that unlocking everyone for blacktop mode. And it's still not going to get you a 99 overall My Career player. It's still not going to get you all the My Career clothes. So when you're talking about a $5 unlocker for a WWE game, financially it would make no sense for 2K because these suckers are paying for VC to get 99 My Career players day one. And I don't mind. I don't really mind the issue of paying for cheats. I'm okay with it, actually. But God, having 20,000 VC for blacktop mode, where people don't play the damn mode, that's a stupid. That is a stupid. And Andrew, well, I tied you because I hit it my first try.
Fantastic.
I don't know.
I did not.
It makes me depressed. That right there makes me sad about next generation games.
Unlockables, I'm kind of in a. I like them, but I don't, especially when. It takes a lot to unlock them, and they're things that you might want to play with fairly soon out of the box, and that's where I don't like unlockables, especially wrestling games have been particularly bad about it, and Blacktop, what they've done the last couple of years with that, with the VC, yeah, and of course on PC, we've had to do it with roster editing to actually get them in the first place, so yeah, it's, yeah.
It's depressing. That's the best way to describe it. It's really depressing to see. I mean, I know when I think when we first started this podcast, we had an episode where we talked about essentially VC and about having some sort of microtransaction system in the game. Because when we started this podcast, we were in, was it 2K12?
2K13.
Before 2K13 came out, though, we had a couple.
Yeah.
And that was before this whole VC crap started. And I think I remember one of the first episodes, maybe it was the pilot or something, where we talked about microtransactions and how it's changing, you know, other games. It just, it's depressing. And, you know, we reflect on I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, full generational, you know, port of the game with all the features and everything coming to PC.
Yes.
I don't want that. I wouldn't want that. Because if even if I could mod 2K14, if I can't play with Allen Iverson in blacktop mode, you know, forget it, man.
But fair call, because it's
yeah. It's just that it's funny. We talk about Live 14, you know, and essentially having lies come to us from that series with the roster updates and what we, you know, I'm not saying lies because they didn't outright say that we'd have transactions done, you know, an hour after the game was played, but they did say
not living up to expectations, basically.
Yeah, they said we're going to do roster updates an hour after the game comes out. Roster updates, that's fantastic. Oh, we just meant ratings and tendencies. Oh, that's cool. And you know, that's still great and everything, and I'm glad they do that because I think they do it. But you know, and we talk about all of that, and we talked about 2K14 next gen not being, you know, living up to the expectations they set for the hype train. And it's funny that 20,000 VC for blacktop mode is what finally takes the wind out of my sails for it. So
yeah.
So basically, both EA and 2K have let the NLSC down.
No, like a Disney princess, we all want more. and we're going to sing a great musical number that's going to be Oscar bait as well. So, I don't know. Like I said, I still need to spend time with both games and see what the patches can do and give them, give certainly 2K14 more of a chance, because I let some things get to my head, but get into my head rather than go to my head. But continue. Again, that's the thing with the podcast and our impressions in the forum and everything. I'd rather have it be an ongoing process where we can look back and say, well, you know, I did change my mind on that. And I think we were talking about that last week, that we would continue to evaluate it and not just declare. You know, I saw a review come up earlier today, basically said, do not buy Live 14 ever. It is terrible. EA is terrible, all this stuff. Which, you know, is perhaps a fair call considering the reaction and how one could react to it. But that could change. It could be a reasonably solid title in a month's time if they can make the updates. And if the updates for 2K14 address the issues that have really been bothering me, maybe by next week, if assuming the international patch comes through in time, I could be looking back, as I said, and say, well, you know, last week's Andrew was an idiot because I'm certainly enjoying the game. So
he must have been drunk.
We'll see. No. Just stupid, isn't it? And there's no support group for that. But
stupid loves company.
Well, we're all pretty miserable and misery loves company, so here we are. But I don't really have any other impressions about the games this week. I'll leave it until next week when I've spent some more time with it and see. Anything else you guys want to add before we perhaps wrap up with some NBA talk?
Oh, did you see that video of someone jumping over someone else in 2K14?
No, right. I didn't.
Canimation, but god damn, that canimation was sexy. I don't think I favorited it.
The full Vince Carter over.
Yeah, full
White.
Vince Carter. Yeah.
Nice. As much as we hate Canimation, when something like that happens, that is pretty cool.
It reminded me of kind of like the NBA Live 06 version of it, which that just made me go blah, like what?
No, the freestyle superstar dunker.
Yeah.
Dunk on people animation, yeah.
That made me jump out of my seat when that happened the first time. Come on, Operation Sports, where the hell's your video thread? Of course, it was posted there. Do you really not have a video thread this year?
No, it's here. It's up the top. Sticky. Number two.
Sticky?
Sticky icky.
Hardy in plain sight, sir.
No, on the next-gen forum? NLSC podcast, where we browse to Operation Sports and go, what the F? Highlights. Oh, it's called Highlights. Sorry. For you. Sorry, we were just saying goodbye to Vlad and I had something to send him. Excuse me. No, it was just something really neat to have, and it kind of reminded me of I'm not finding it, but I'm sorry. It kind of reminded me of that kind of neat stuff from 2K in the past that it has been missing over the past couple of years. What's the best way I want to try to describe this?
It was cool.
You have like 2K7 where those hidden animations with like the honey dip and the bounce it off the floor alley-oop to yourself and even the D Brown dunk that happened so rare. It rarely ever happened, but when you have that fast break with a big dunker, you get rewarded like that. You know what I mean?
A bit of an Easter egg kind of thing.
Yeah. And it just hasn't, you know, been in the game for a while, I guess. Oh, well, someone else did it. So there's that link. So evidently it wasn't that rare then, because I just found another video of someone else doing it. Oh, that made me sad, actually. That's it's still cool that it's in the game like that, but oh well. Damn it.
There goes your indie cred.
now it's not that cool anymore.
it's less mainstream.
It's lost its prestige in like 1 minute.
Pre-order cancelled.
Yeah.
The NLC podcast where our opinions turn on a dime.
Yeah.
And can be bought for chocolate.
Or booze.
We accept all kinds of donations.
Yeah. I'll take
PayPal or otherwise. Yeah. But yeah, any other final thoughts, Ben? Demo hasn't finished coming through, so
it's about 90%, 87 to 90% done right now. So that's not bad for 9.3 gigs.
Yeah,
and we might. I really want your stuff. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about some NBA stuff and if we can get some of Ben's reactions live, pre-recorded. We'll get it live. Everyone else,
I'll stream it on Twitch.
Fair enough.
There we go. So, the NBA league.
Yeah, the one that we're actually the NBA league. The league is actually.
Don't belittle it like the NBL.
Have you heard of the free throw derby contest?
Yeah. Can't be any worse than two ball. But,
is Nate Robinson still the three-time champ of the layup dunk contest? Well,
yeah.
Free throw derby.
I guess one big story coming out this week is Jason Kidd, who's doing very well with the Nets, of course, for the opening week of the season, has sent Lawrence Frank packing. They go back a long ways, of course. Formerly coaching Kidd when he was with the Nets, 2004 to 2008, if I'm remembering the time frame correctly for his stint there. But yeah, he was brought in to be one of the top assistants, but he's basically been relegated to a anywhere but the bench. yeah, he'll be. Well, they've said he's going to be providing reports, but whether he's actually going to have to do that or whether it's just going to be one of those things that, yeah, you go off to the side and...
He'll be doing it from the basement, in other words.
Push some papers around and we'll pay you out for the rest of your contract. But, yeah, certainly apparently the friction's been there from earlier on in the season, and Kidd's made the call, and the players and the franchise are behind Kidd, again, because he's doing so well. Spilling... you know, with his coke habit, ha ha,
ha ha ha. It was only one time, man.
Yeah.
You got a cup and some ice for me, man.
That's what Charlie Sheen said. Odom said.
We won't retrieve that one, but yeah. So Frank's out. So pretty good quality coach is out. A lot of people are saying it's Jason Kidd's ego or everything. John, I mean, again, they're not the. It's not
we're
going to
lose
so.
A lot.
Yeah.
And maybe maybe they should all just grow froze and wear short shorts because that might help. Are they getting
funny
yet? Is the Brooklyn home team booing them yet? Because they got blown out by the Nuggets last night. And I wanted to find a stream or something of the game just so I could see if they're going to get booed off the court. And then I realized that Duke was on TV and I'd rather watch them beat Michigan. I don't know. It's so sad. And the Celtics won too, which is nice. But no, it's so sad because the Celtics team that they left behind, it looks like they're going to be trying to win. I've been watching just how Brad Stevens has been coaching them, and they're not in any kind of tanking mode whatsoever. And everyone's actually trying, and it's going to be really interesting when Rondo comes back. And that makes me sad because I'm just thinking about what this team could have been like. It'd at least be a 500 team with KG and Pierce.
Oh, for sure.
At the very least, and never mind the mentoring that they could provide to Kelly and to Vito Favorani's sexy beard. It's
not left us bid, but you know.
It's really sad, and it makes me really worried what's going to happen because, you know, there's all that controversy with the owner and Kirilenko, and they've obviously, you know, done a lot to try to win this year. And I still maintain what I said about last week, and this will be fun to revisit week after week after week. If they just make the playoffs, they have a chance. And they can't even beat the people in the Atlantic Division. And I know that Pierce is out. Pierce is out now with the broken hand, and that sucks. But you know they're not the playoffs aren't decided by divisions anymore, guys. it was sad to hear earlier in the week that there was all but two teams in the West could be leading the Atlantic Division right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you could say with the Bulls, would you like to blow it up and tank for a high pick, but. considering the record you could make the playoffs with in the East this year.
Say what you want to say about him. Tommy Heinsohn killed it last night when they do a Tommy's mailbag. And the question he was asked was, do you ever support the Celtics tanking and tanking to get a good draft pick? And he did a nice Tommy rant saying it's stupid to try to get a team to lose to get a high draft pick. Because all you do, you may get one great player, but then you have a team of losers. You want to get this team to care, to try. You want them to be winners at heart. If you have winners at heart, like the Celtics are right now, then because you could see them all trying. It's almost like a college team, which, you know, you give that up to Brad Stevens. You know, it hasn't been one time where you look at them and go, they're not even trying. Like, you know, you saw with the Nets. But you see them actually trying and giving it their all and everything. And he just went on this great rant about how you have a team of losers. And he said, what are we going to do? If we get into the lottery, who says we get the sixth pick? Fantastic. And he referenced someone on the Bucks who was a sixth pick. And he said, and the Bucks are losers. Which, like, he was twice. Come on, Tommy. You know, calm down a little bit. And he said, you know who was the 10th pick in that draft? Paul George. And it was like, oh, I see what you did there, Tommy.
Yeah.
Like, we have draft picks. Yes, I said the we thing. Suck it.
Yeah.
We, the Celtics, have a lot of draft picks and everything. They're going to do fine. And it's just sad to see Pierce, who left a team that was supposedly going to be tanking, end up on a team that's trying to win and is expected to win and is doing so terrible.
Yeah.
Hey, if in NLSC fantasy football, if I can come back from 0-3 and come out to leading the league going into the playoffs, the Nets can too. So it's only the first. That's such a terrible analogy, but it's only been a month.
Yeah, the Kevin Garnett reference right there. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Just a heads up, demo's installed.
Oh, snap. Okay, Andrew, you go.
Well, the Pistons beat the Heat, which we all saw coming.
It's going to happen. I mean, the Heat were on a 10-game winning streak anyway, so, and streaks are bound to end. So.
Oh, indeed.
And, you know, I mean, look at the Spurs and the Blazers. You know, they're on 11-game winning streaks, and they both lost on the same day. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird, you know. Like ESPN Australia, I think it was, or might have been the NBA on ESPN official Facebook page. Just posted up the image after the game, and Pistons snapped the winning streak. You know, who called that? You know, just and at home too. But absolutely doesn't mean, you know, early in the season, one loss doesn't mean anything. But the Heat are were streaking, obviously, and not going to be disappearing anytime soon. They're not going to pull a Brooklyn, if you will. The other one that was interesting recently was, or yesterday rather, when we were recording this, was the Pacers versus Blazers game, because you've got a couple of teams that have been doing really good in the early on here, and we've got the predictions thread in the forum. That was a tough one to pick, and I went with the Pacers, so naturally the Blazers won. do you reckon? I mean, it's early days, as we said, but the Blazers have kept it up for a few weeks of the season now, for the first month, and everything's still doing well. Do you think they're a legitimate team in the West?
I reckon if providing they have no injuries, I reckon they can be top four by the end of the season in the West.
Yeah, that seems pretty reasonable. How far do you think they could go?
In terms of wins?
Or into the playoffs?
Into the playoffs? Depending who they match up against, they could go second round. I don't know if they'll make the conference finals. I think there'll be a couple of teams a bit more experienced that be able to do it, that will sort of take them. But I reckon they can go five or six games into a second round.
Yeah, that's a fair call. I'd actually be funny to see them in the finals against the Heat, because then you have Oden going up against his old team.
Yeah.
Situation, but speaking of the Heat, the Beasley hasn't been doing too badly. And before the season, there was a couple of Heat fans in the forum saying, "Oh, that's a terrible signing. I don't know how it can be terrible when he doesn't have a guaranteed contract and can be cut loose at any time." It's not like they're going to say, "Well, we brought in Beasley. Let's just waive LeBron." It's just, I'd like to think Pat Riley has a bit more sense than that. But
I mean, the way I can sort of see the Beasley situation is he's been that spark, you know, that Birdman was last season for the Heat when they got him.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's been playing solid. He's, definitely putting up some good stats in that. So, and coming off the bench,
I guess the pressure's off too, because he's no longer that high draft pick that's the future of the franchise. They brought in LeBron, they got Wade, obviously,
and they got Bosch. So yeah. And then they obviously got Ray Allen and things like that. Yeah. So there's a lot of pressure off him, and he could probably more go back to playing his natural game without that sort of media hype and attention and stuff. I hope he continues to play well. And doesn't have the off court drama like he did, obviously, with the weed and stuff like that. So, hopefully, you know, Chris Anderson can sort of he's been down the same paths, you know, and hopefully he can sort of be a mentor and say, look, this is what happens if you mess up, and this is how I've changed my time, especially being out for 2 years and all that, obviously because of the drug ban and that. So he's hoping.
They said it was a drug ban. I'm pretty sure it was for throwing all those missed alley-oops in the dunk contest. But it's like Jordan's baseball career was actually the whole gambling suspension.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy theory. $57,000.
I'm just saying. Episode 57.
Yeah. It's all about 57 this week, yeah.
It's like the Jim Carrey movie 23.
Also like to give credit to the iconic auto, the 1957 Chevrolet.
Yeah.
We thought of a couple of things before we settled on the 57 Celtics, but that did seem the most appropriate. But anything else in the NBA that's caught your attention, guys?
Today, yesterday, obviously, with Michael Carter-Williams and...
Victor Oladipo, yeah.
You know, both for the first time having a triple-double.
Two rookies in the same game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for how long the league's been around, you think that may have happened once before. I mean, maybe more so in the earlier days than that. But yeah, it hard to think or hard to believe that it's actually the first time that it's happened now.
Yeah, it does seem like a strange that it wouldn't have happened, especially... they didn't say it was the first time since the merger, did they?
It just says first time in...
league history.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. But that's kind of nice to see because everyone's looking ahead to next year and the Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins and
Dante
all that.
Exum.
Yeah, to actually see to see this year's class doing some good stuff. Not so much Anthony Bennett, but
on my fancy Michael, team, hooray!
Well, you know, I've got a theory, guys. You know the whole the Madden curse and the Sports Illustrated curse and everything.
Yep.
I picked up the latest edition of latest issue rather of Slam magazine, and it's got Derrick Rose on the cover and a story about how Anthony Bennett's ready to take over the league.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happened? Rose has gone down with injury again, and Bennett's not taking over the league. Slam curse.
Slam curse.
Just put it out there.
I put two GIFs in the chat for you guys. If you guys have not watched Kevin Love throwing the full court outlet passes, they are an absolute thing of beauty. There's a mix somewhere online of him it's just 2 minutes of him throwing full court outlet passes. And all I can think is, great, now 2K and Live are going to try to incorporate this next year.
Cheese,
dairy free my butt. And then the other one was Tim Duncan doing the same thing, except with a curveball.
Yeah.
Well,
actually, that's a whole physics actually based thing, and with the curveball,
spin.
You've got to finish that dunk. You've got to let him have the assist on that. That's you cannot miss that.
There was a story the other week about how the Spurs for the previous two seasons only had one alley-oop. And Tim Duncan has finished two alley-oops this week.
Of course.
Wasn't it five alley-oops in 2 years in total?
I thought it was one.
I'd believe it, either way.
And then the other big news is the 76ers will retire Allen Iverson's number 3 March 1st against the Wizards.
So, I'd say that's pretty well deserved. Pretty strong career there.
Most valuable player in 2001, Rookie of the Year in 97, 11-time All-Star, 2-time All-Star Game MVP, 4-time scoring champion, three-time all NBA first team, three-time all NBA second team, one-time third team, all rookie team first team, and 2 times the steals leader.
While looking like a early 90s thug gangster with the
clothing.
Most
and
iconic.
The reason for the dress code rules.
Yeah.
He made his mark. But that's the thing. I mean, he obviously, there's the inefficiency. His field goal percentage, not spectacular throughout his career, but it really, it's one of my pet peeves when it comes to NBA discussions where they look at someone like Iverson, oh, he's a terrible player. And there are people who say that, and that's a stupid thing because he's far too talented to be called a terrible player. But it comes down to that false dichotomy of the online discussion. You either make the grade of being awesome or it's terrible. There's fantastic and there's crap. And there's he's inefficient, whether he obviously didn't win a championship and there were issues with attitude and everything over the years, but you know, really, really talented basketball player. You don't spend that long in the league and do what he did at that height and achieve what he did without being a fantastic player. So, definitely one of the top players in Sixers history and the league as a whole. So, well deserved, I would have to say. Yep.
Indeed. And that's all I got for Reddit. There's Turkey, and I didn't pay too much attention this week.
That's a fair call.
I did watch Vermont almost beat Duke. That was an impressive game for them. Will UVM taking Duke to the final possession, hitting a game-winning shot a second after the buzzer.
Do you have any is there any kind of loyalty, allegiance? Do you feel it being torn in both in two directions?
With those two teams?
Yeah,
I was just impressed at how UVM played. They played just really good. I wasn't torn at all. It wasn't like, oh my god, you know, Duke better not. I mean, it's a win-win. If Duke wins, good. You know, Duke continues their dominance. If UVM wins, it's just a holy wow. UVM won against Duke because you know they're a very small college.
Yes. You win either way, basically.
Yeah, it was just a really entertaining game to watch. They stuck with them and they played good. It wasn't that Duke was playing bad; they were playing good. So I enjoyed that. Ben, have you installed the game yet?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you guys wanted me to play it after we'd finished the podcast so that way I could stream it and all that stuff, or do you want me to do it now?
Ooh, I don't know. This is tempting. It doesn't matter for me because I get to hear it either way. It's just how interesting do you think it will be for your or listeners to hear about?
Well, it could be quite there could be quiet spots. So I suggest that we end on a cliffhanger of sorts and invite people to tune in next week when Ben will be able to give his thoughts on the demo. We'll of course throw up the link to watch the gameplay, but perhaps Ben can give his full thoughts on the game next week. How about that?
Yeah. That sounds fine to me. I just need your Twitch ID.
Okay. Well, we'll put that out there for everyone to for their viewing enjoyment. Okay. I know how much Leftos loves me using that that turn of phrase, listening and viewing enjoyment. We'll put that out there, and as we said before, we'll keep the impressions coming as we continue to play it and rant and piss everyone off with our opinions, especially mine. But we're definitely interested to hear what you have to say about our opinions and your own opinions. So let us know in the comments. I always invite people to post in the thread in the NLSC hub or on the comments of the news post. But I guess that has brought us to the end of a rather fun and interesting episode. We've had a few rants and learned some good things about Red MC, and I guess more fun to come, fellas.
Indeed.
So, if you enjoyed this week's episode, we invite you to go back and check out our previous episodes. They're all fantastic, naturally. Why would we lie about such a thing? You can subscribe to us on iTunes and never miss a future episode, as well as checking out our backlog. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thenlsc. Follow us on Twitter, @thenlsc, #thenlscrules. And the NLSC, of course, is nba-live.com. Always lots of fun stuff happening there. So that's going to do it for this week. I'm Andrew.
And I'm okay. About to play the Live 14 demo.
And I'm Jess May. I'm about to do a lot of PC modding.
And I guess I'm going to have to edit this podcast. Well, see you next week.
See ya.
See ya.